selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they not so come rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they mass up from rain, they burn the kids, no more makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the internet. It is the 25th of April, 2017, and I'm happy to say back from the psych ward. We went up to the psych ward right after the show on Sunday, see if we couldn't spring a guy, and we didn't. And but you know, it made kind of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest look pretty normal compared to this place. And so the problem is that the police are now involved in mental health, and all of the police chiefs are member of Police Chiefs International, which is the United Nations. And that group of satanic dogs. And so we spent some time talking about the mental health program out of the UN. And we have the one from Canada, which is just off the template of the UN. And we have the head of mental health. I don't know if it's just in Ontario or all of Canada. She did a talk at TED Talk, which is where all the loony bins go to talk. And she stood there on the stage and said that we are all mentally ill. So everybody's a target now. And the police, you know, if a cop pulls you over and you look nervous or you're pissed off because you got pulled over or this, that, or the other thing, they can assess you on the roadside and, you know, put you down as possibly being delusional or paranoid. Or whatever they come up with, and they can haul you up to the local hospital where a doctor will gladly sign the papers, and you're off to the psych ward for assessment. And they can hold you there for 72 hours for nothing. Then you can't get out. So when we went up there Sunday after the show, I don't know this guy very well. I met him. I was helping my brother-in-law. They were doing a really big, I don't know what it is, 2.5, 3-story, one of these great big monstrous old houses. And there was a couple of really high chimneys, and they got the one side scaffold, but they couldn't get scaffolding at the other place. So Chris just happened to have one of those lift booms. And so he brought it in. And he dealt with the other chimney, but he owns a company, self-employed. He owns a company, and he owns a stone yard. I don't know if he does brick too, or it's just strictly stone. Had a store downtown, and nice guy. And so what happened was he hurt his back, and being self-employed, he had to get, you know, an insurance program because he's not covered under workman's comp. And so he hurt his back, so he put in a claim to the insurance company, who turned it down. I'm not sure if he went to sue them or what, but he was getting tagged a little bit here and there. It's no different than Michael Schmidt, the milk farmer, where they cameraed his farm without his consent or knowledge. It's really us against them, is what it's about. And the nut bars are running the asylum. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the asylum is the entire province and the entire country. From one end to the other, has turned into a major psych ward. And because everybody's psychopathic, not the people, but those running the joint, they're amoral, satanic psychopaths. That's the only way to describe them. That's what they are. So we went up there. We took a bag up. Chris wanted a phone book. He was trying to get a lawyer. And it was really quite pathetic because I sat down and talked to him and how'd you end up here? And what he did was he phoned the police. I bet you he never phones the police again. There had been people hanging out in front of his shop, and some weird stuff was going on. He figured the insurance company was tracking his phone calls and that, so he went down to Kitchener, where there's somebody down there that can set your cell phone so nobody can trace calls or any of this kind of stuff. Went down and got that done. There was some weird stuff happening around at his shop. He said he went to work one day and there's two vehicles parked in front of his shop, and he went over to ask them what they needed, and they just looked at him and bolted out of there, both vehicles. It sounds like what the kind of crap goes on over at Michael Schmidt's farm. And once they tag you, once they target you, they target you, and they will stay on you. So anyways, he was at his shop, and he noticed some wiring that didn't look like, he don't recall that wiring going into the building. He doesn't recall putting it in. And so he phoned the cops. Duh. Phoned the cops, tell them that something wasn't right at the shop. So they came out. And he brought him into the shop and explained, you know, he just, some of this stuff doesn't look right. And then they tell him that his parents were a little concerned about him. And he goes, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but that's not why I called you. And next thing he knows, he's in a cruiser and taken up to the local hospital where some Asian guy, doctor signs him in, stays there for a day, and then they transported him up to the psych ward in Owen Sound. So we go up there, we're talking to him, and we're sitting on a bed, and that's a really weird setup. It's all locked down, and they got this nurse's station, all glass and that, so they can peer at these people. And so Chris is sitting on the bed, and we're talking to him, and he says, like, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, what the hell am I doing here? Well, they have the ability to take you out off the street anytime they want now. And so we talked about some stuff, it's really weird because I went back to the nurse's station, which was only two people in there. There was this tall white woman, middle-aged, and this dark-skinned woman. I don't know if she's East Indian or Muslim or what the hell she is. But when I went back, they got a split door there. And so I looking over the door and wanted to ask them some questions. And here I have the two of them sitting face-to-face with their chairs pulled up close. And I look in, and I see the dark-skinned woman has a syringe that looks like it's in the wrist of the nurse, I guess. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And all of a sudden, they split their chairs and I said, what the hell are you doing with a syringe? Oh, well, I was out gardening and they're doing some yard work, and I got some slivers in my wrist, says the nurse. So she's just picking slivers out of my wrist. Well, nobody's picking at anything. There was, this thing wasn't moving. And I says, you're using a syringe to pick out slivers? Well, yeah, it's sharp. It really works good. But they weren't picking at anything that I saw. And I thought, well, this is good. So we've got the nuts watching the normal people. So we got talking about this and that. And I says, like, there's nothing wrong with Chris. So what we're going to do is we're just going to, we'll sign any guardianship papers or whatever required, and we'll just take him out of here, and we'll be responsible for him. And she's, well, you know, I said, you only got him for 4 days. Today's 4 days. It's up, so he can leave anyways. So, you know, we'll just sign him out of here and be gone. And they said, well, nobody has to be assessed by a doctor before he leaves. And I go, well, when's the doctor coming? Like, it's 10 to 4. When's the doctor coming? Oh, I don't know. Well, who's the doctor? I don't know. Well, like, it's not going to show up here at 10 o'clock tonight. So, like, maybe we'll hang around till doctor gets here, and then we can have a chat with the doctor and explain to him what we're going to do and get him out of here. So we do this for a while. Then all of a sudden, the nurse, I guess she's the nurse, she says, well, this is the doctor, which is the dark-haired, dark-skinned woman that was sitting there. The whole time we're having this conversation, she doesn't, well, I'm the doctor, and I'm presently just assessing right now. No, doesn't say a word. And I says, wait a minute, hold it. The nurse says she doesn't know who the doctor is or when the doctor's going to show up because the doctor's on call. And now you're telling me that she's the doctor who's been sitting here the whole damn time. There's something really wrong with this situation. So I'm going to need your names so that I can have your names. Oh, no, we don't have to give you our names. This is the same thing with the police and everybody else these days, right? And I said, you have to fork up your name by law. You're a public employee. You have to fork up your name. Well, we're not prepared to do that. I don't care if you're prepared. But, I explained to them, we get what's going on here. This is the same as the CAS, where you're picking, it's bounties, okay? There's money involved here. You got to have people in the psych ward, because if they don't have people in the psych ward, then you ain't got a job. Keeps the cops busy, keeps the doctors busy, keeps the lawyers busy. Everybody's busy feeding off of this guy. And he didn't do anybody any harm. He didn't threaten anybody. He didn't do nothing. Now, him and his wife are divorced. So, but they have a girl, a little girl, of which he has total access to. He said they get along fine, him and his ex-wife get along fine. There's no animosity about the kid and that. So he calls my brother-in-law last night and said they assessed him, which was that doctor that wouldn't identify herself, the one with the needle, and booked him in for the next level, which is level 3 or something, which means they can hold him for another 2 weeks. And they want him to, now then they got, went and got CAS involved in it, and now they want to remove his right to see his child. And this kind of garbage is going on all over the place. Because the police now have been trained, supposedly, to assess your mental state. And they get to make the decision whether or not they're going to drag you off to some doctor who's going to get paid for putting his signature on a piece of paper. Now, I called a friend of mine who has dealt with this stuff. He was a drug, what do you call it, a drug therapist, or, you know, like for, he was help people get off drugs and that, and mental problems and that. And I phoned him up. I said, how are we going to get this guy out of here? And he said, the only way you're getting him out is with a lawyer. Because what Chris said when we were first talking to him, he said, this is really strange because I haven't done anything wrong. And I called the police for to come and look at my building. The next thing I know, I'm here. And I have no rights. I have no rights. Zero. Now they're pushing drugs. They want me to start taking drugs. He said, I don't want their damn drugs. So this is, you know, and this just reminds me of that show, I don't know how long ago, it was 9 years anyway. We were doing a show, and I guess we were discussing stuff about dissent and that. And got that call from that guy from Switzerland. And he says, you know, hang on, because it's coming your way, because they're already doing it here. Dissenters don't go to court, okay? They just pull you off the street and put you in the night house. And there you sit. So, you know, Mr. George Orwell, which isn't his real name, and I never always forget what it is, and I ain't got time to look it up, but he nailed this to the wall, right? The whole damn thing to the wall. And this is mass tyranny upon the people. And a very small group of people somehow, some way, have control over everybody. And this can't be allowed to, this cannot be allowed to continue. So we need to get our nations back. Badly. And the other thing we have to do is sever all ties. We're all member states of the United Nations, and those boys, which are the boys that started the first two world wars, in order to get this global power over the nations, in order to kill the nation state. It's in their documents. End of nation states. And this is what they're doing. All everything that's going on in our countries, everything negative that's going on in our countries can be traced directly back to the United Nations or one of their myriad, their spider web of organizations. And we have to cut those ties. And if our leaders won't cut the ties, which they have no intentions of doing, we need to somehow get them out of there, because this is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But it was a really strange experience. But you always, there are always some fun. At the end, you know, I'm telling this nurse and his doctor that I want their ID, like now. And so there was one lady there, she's not very old, probably, I don't know if she's 30. Maybe 30-something, late 20s, 30s. But because they're all in their hospital garb. Eh? And, you know, I guess she told my brother-in-law that if I stay on this, they'll pull a code white. And Bruce says, you know, we better get out of here because we're going to do a code white. And I go, what the hell's a code white? It's a security call. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. And so, you know, I'm saying, like, okay, I want this doctor's name. And the girl that was talking about a code white, the inmate there, said that her name was Dr. K. And I said, well, how do you spell Dr. K? Like, is it K-A-Y or what? She says, no, all we ever see is doctor with a K. I said, well, that ain't her name. So these people are paranoid, right? The people in these government positions are paranoid as hell. They're the ones out being the nut house. I mean, I phoned the POA office, the administration office, again in Owen Sound one time because the judge had run away into court, which means that they should have dismissed the charges, and they didn't, or withdrew the charges. So I phoned up to make sure that was done, and they said no, they set a new trial. So I'm talking to this lady, it's around 4:30, and she said, "I gotta go." I go, "Why? I gotta get this sorted out." And she goes, "Well, security's here." "What are you talking about? What's security?" And she says, "Well, the security comes to take us to our vehicles out in the parking lot." Now, Owen Sound's a town of 20,000 freaking people. I said to her, "You telling me that you have a security detail there that takes you to your vehicle after work?" "Yes." I said, "You people have become that paranoid that you have to have security detail in a town of 20,000 people to escort you to your vehicle after work? Well, it's for our safety." "Well, if you're that freaked out about your safety, then obviously you must understand that what you're doing to the people is wrong." "Well, I'm just doing my job." I hate hearing that crap. "Just doing my job." Well, when you got to have security escort you to your vehicle after work, we got a problem. Huge problem. So, anyways, we bid Chris adieu, and they must have a special place to grow these people, because the guy, actually, it was the guy that let us in, opened the door for us to get into the psych ward, who came rushing to the assistance. And this guy's huge, man. And so I says, "I need that doctor's name. What her name is?" "No, I don't know what her name is." "Right." I said, "You like your job here?" "Oh yeah, I really do." "No, okay, low IQ, big guy, I can get it." So Chris is still sitting up there, and they brought the CAS in, and they want, when he was talking to my brother-in-law today, he said that they want him to sign off on any rights to his child. And he's, "I'm not signing that." And now they're pestering me again for drugs. And they want me to sign other stuff. And he said, "Tell him sign nothing, and get a lawyer," because apparently, after talking to my friend Paul, who's been involved in this kind of stuff before, he said, "No." He said, "Once they got you in there, man, the only way that you're going, the only one you can talk to is a lawyer, because they ain't gonna listen to anybody else." Well, the lawyers are all involved in this shit too. So we got a real mess on our hands. So, everybody have some good thoughts about Chris. Hopefully, this is really mental. This is really mental. Went in there. He's been in for 4 days. He hadn't had a shave, and he's always a clean-shaven guy. So he wouldn't have a shave. They wouldn't give him a razor in case he kills himself. I don't know how you kill yourself with a little razor, but he's being so calm, right? He's really being calm. And I've been in jail before, and I'm thinking jail's a picnic compared to this place, because here they want you, there's a bounty on you, they got you, and they are listening carefully to anything you say, how you say it, why you say it, and so on and so forth. So he was staying extremely calm. My thought is you want to punch somebody in the head, but you can't go there, right? You'll end up like Jack Nicholson in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So it's a really, really shaky, shaky place, and I don't recommend it to anybody. But I was talking to some people today about it uptown, and they're going, "Well, they're taking away our freedom of speech." And I go, "Nobody can take your freedom of speech, right? Nobody. If you bow down and you cower, oh, I can't say this, I can't say that, I might get in trouble, then you, not they, have taken away your freedom of speech. What I just keep telling people, you say what you say what you mean and mean what you say, and if somebody gets offended by it, well, then they can walk away. Okay? Every time I talk to, it's getting so bad now, every time I talk to anybody that has anything connection with the government at all, you know, they can say something really stupid to you, or they're giving you a hard time about something, and you say, hey, listen up. And immediately they go into, well, I'm feeling offended, I'm feeling threatened, and I'm going to hang up now. So who are the mentally ill? The mentally ill are the ones that have control of our lives, so to speak, okay? Because they have this whole contingency of people that can come and give you a hard time. And we got to change that. We really got to change that. Now, I went uptown there to get a cup of coffee. I was talking to the lady at the till, who's got a pretty good sense of humor in that. So I was having a coffee, and I was just standing there shooting the crap with her. And people would come, I'd be standing off the side a little bit, and they'd say, well, are you here first? I said, no, I'm just hanging. You know, go ahead. And then Donna's going, no, don't worry about him. He just got out of the psych ward, right? And I go, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. I said, well, but I wasn't a patient. Didn't say you were a patient. I just said you got out of the psych ward. And so she was having a little bit of fun with that. And it's amazing, you know, because you know, so you go ahead now and everything. And she's, oh yeah, he's just here. He just got out of the psych ward, and then people kind of, huh? You know, it's pretty spooky shit. Because once you get labeled, right, and that's what the government's always trying to do, get a label on you. And once they got you labeled, look out, because they're sniffing for cash, and you're it. Your kid's cash. Okay, we've been cashed. We're accounts. That's all we are. We are accounts. We're corporate freaking accounts. We're born, and then we're turned into corporate accounts. And then we die, and once they clean up the estate, then the account is closed. So you are only free for not more than 10 days. Because that's how long it takes them to get the registration through. You got to register a newborn within 10 days. So that's it. You live to be 90, you were free for max 10 days. And then you were turned into an account, a legal account, a corporate legal account. So Shakespeare was absolutely correct when he said first, kill all the lawyers. Because if you sit down and you think about it, that's how the government got manufactured, was with lawyers. And the more rules and regulations they can dump on, the more control they have over your life, and the more opportunity all of these entities that call themselves government have an opportunity to charge the account. And that goes all the way back to Mandel House in his little chat. And I don't have it right in front of me, but just look up at Mandel House and you'll find what he said after the formation of the Fed, that we're all, I forget how that went, but anyways, we're accounts is what we are, legal accounts. And same thing when I went and I had the interview with the CAS. And that's what I told them there. I said, this is at the psych ward. I said, this is exactly the same as CAS. Once they target somebody, they're going to get them because they mean money. CAS, being an arm's length agency legislated by the government, has to look after its own funding. Well, there's only one place it can get funding because it gets so much ahead of so much on the head of each child. And they're so mentally sick, these people. You know, I had a really pretty long conversation with this woman in her office, and I'm going, you know, I don't know anything about this CAS thing, this child Children's Aid Society, but from talking to the people outside that are protesting who have had their children lifted on them, this sounds pretty strange. And it seems that your only funding mechanism is the children. Well, yeah, we get so much per child. Yeah, so it's a bounty. There's a bounty on the children. Because if you want to raise, you got to raise money. If you want to hire a new man or woman, you need to raise money. The only place you can raise the money is from children. So there's an open bounty on kids. And you go target somebody, you get their kid, and then you get money. Well, yeah, but we don't like to look at it that way. Well, there is no other way to look at it. No other way to look at it. And now if you go through that mental health thing, you will find that everybody is mentally ill. I read what constitute mental illness, all the different forms of mental illness on Sunday show. And then they have a clause at the bottom, basically, if you don't fit into these categories, well, we'll just make up a new one. And that's what the head of mental health said. Everybody is mentally ill. So they got you targeted. And that's not good. But we'll work our way out of here and keep an eye on Chris and see how he makes out. Because I just can't imagine sitting there in those conditions for 4 days. And then I got him tagged for another 2 weeks. And you'll get run into this shit. Well, he wasn't cooperative. He wouldn't sign the papers. He wouldn't take the drugs, right? So it's total, doesn't matter what you do, they can spin it out to their benefit and your detriment. And I don't know how the hell anybody could sit there for 2 weeks in those conditions and not lose it. So hopefully we sent them some lawyers' names today. They're supposed to be fairly good at this. And hopefully they can get him sprung out of there. But this is really, really, really bad. Now, I just today, I went and put a thing in Facebook. I don't know why I did this today, but I did it. I just wrote this thing out and threw it in Facebook, and this is just what I wrote quickly. Human rights, I put some pictures in with it, Human Rights, Article 25, and Universal Basic Income. That's out of the United Nations, and we got a picture of Wynn. I got a picture of, you realize universal basic income is feudalism, right? And there's another picture here. I'll throw this in so if anybody's on Facebook, they can go look at it. Now, I don't know what this guy is. If he's a Muslim, East Indian, I don't know what the hell he is. These are the sustainable development goals. Okay, so, you know, this is right out. And it's written in Arabic. And it says World Government Summit. And it says, universal basic income is the most realistic solution to achieving the global goal of making poverty extinct by 2030. And this is Sartaj Anand, I don't know. I can't pronounce these damn words. I'm used to Wilson and Thompson and stuff like that. You wrap your mouth around. But he's a social good advisor, and this is the United Nations Foundation's World Government Summit, so we know, and I studied this a long time ago, so I know exactly where this is all coming from, and I don't know if this guy, I can't copy that, I don't know if this guy's Muslim or what the hell he is. He's got a rag on his head, and he's got a beard, and he's dark-skinned, and this is written in Arabic, and looks like Arabic anyways, in English. So, but what I wrote simply was, universal basic income is a long-planned UN globalist corporate takedown. First, put countries in a debt position they can never escape, which has been done. It's done. There's no nation on this planet that can get out from underneath the debt that it's struggling with, which tells you that your leaders are involved in this all the way down the line, because otherwise they would do things differently. You know, we just keep riding the debt up. Drive as many into poverty as possible in order for the plan to be accepted. That's what they've been doing. You need to put a hurt on them, and then people, well, I can't pay my hydro bills, I can't pay for my drugs, I can't do this, I can't do that. And so now we've created the problem, now we need a solution. And the solution is universal guaranteed income. Okay, so how will it be paid? This is the whole game. All resources will be handed to the UN global government and their globalist corporate partners and friends, known in their world as the end of nation states. Then they will decide via the universal human rights what is the adequate amount of food, housing, education, medical, etc. you receive. In other words, they control all of it. And it's all based on the sustainability formula. And it's also part of the depopulation program. And people are going, well, I'm really struggling. This sounds pretty good to me. Well, of course it sounds good to you. It sounded good to the church members long time ago when the ecclesiastical handling of the lands here was turned over to the so-called government, because they were ecclesiastical lands before the government showed up. And then the churches, being the evil entities they are, conned their God-fearing congregations into praying no less to be incorporated. In other words, praying to be turned from a man or a woman into a corporate entity, a legal entity, which takes you straight out of law and puts you in that fictional world. So this idea, oh boy, they're going to give us something for nothing. Are you out of your freaking minds? Do not want or accept anything from, do not accept any form of basic income. Instead of being weak and looking for something for nothing, which does not and never has existed, try being strong. We have a nation to rebuild. Canada has more resources per capita by a huge margin than any country on the planet, yet we have growing poverty and homelessness as planned. So it's time we start acting as adults. And I always put this in here, you know, because it's important people understand it. They don't seem to understand much. But we do have a duty to our forefathers who struggled to get out from under the tyranny that they were living under, to come here and start anew, a free, lawful land. So we do have a duty to our forefathers, children, grandchildren, and those not yet born. Wake up, brothers and sisters, please. The politicians are puppets of the amoral UN and do their bidding, which in turn harms the nation and destroys our future. The invasion of Islam is also part of the plan. People are complaining. How are we going to pay for all these immigrants and all these refugees? People are hungry and struggling like hell now. Well, we put them on the basic income. So it's problem, reaction, solution. Those amoral dogs who created the UN create the problems, and then they offer up the solutions, which benefit them and harm everyone else. Therefore, we must cut all ties to the amoral UN immediately and start building a moral nation, because it is the only road to peace and freedom. Period. So then I did that, and I went up to get a coffee, and what's on the front page of the Toronto Star? Basic income. Brilliant. Absolutely freaking brilliant. So what's the plan? So we look it up. Toronto Star. Ontario launches the basic income pilot for 4,000 in Hamilton, London, or Thunder Bay, and Lindsay. Participants in pilot designed to test if a basic income is a better way to support people living in poverty than the current systems will be randomly chosen in project to begin as early as summer. Ontario's long-awaited basic income pilot project, I ain't been waiting for it, will include 4,000 low-income people in the Hamilton, Thunder Bay, and Lindsay who will each receive up to $17,000 annually with no strings attached starting as early as this summer. Premier, I'm a lion, witch, lesbian, cow, minion of the United Nations. I'm psychotic. I'm satanic. Win, our premier, announced a three-year experiment in Hamilton on Monday as part of a major speech on how the Liberal government plans to ensure all Ontarians, including those struggling in low-wage precarious work, benefit from the province's balanced budget and improved economy. Ontario has somewhere around 13, 14 million people in it. We have a debt. The provincial debt, this isn't your personal debt, this is just the provincial debt. This isn't your municipal debt, this is just your provincial debt of $300+ billion. California has a population of 38 million, which is more than the entire population of the second largest landmass country on the planet, known as Canada. And their debt is like $160 million or something, about half of what Ontario's debt is. And they're freaking out in California that the debt is insurmountable. So she's calling a balanced budget and improved economy. I mean, she ought to be in a psych ward, but then the psychos are running the asylum, aren't they? It's not an extravagant sum by any means, it goes on to say. For a single person, we were talking about just under $17,000 a year. But even that amount may make a real difference to someone who is striving to reach a better life, she said. The project will explore the effectiveness of providing a basic income to people who are currently living on low incomes, whether they are working or not, she said. People participating in our pilot communities will receive a minimum amount of income each year, a basic income no matter what. So it's a clear check, it's just under $16,989 or some damn thing. Call it 17 grand. So if you're working, you get 17 grand. Okay? Regardless. Under the plan, single adults between the ages of 18 and 64 will receive up to $16,989 annually, and couples will receive up to $24,027. People with disabilities will receive an additional $6,000. Okay, so you're getting 17, you got 23 grand if you're single and disabled. Single people would have to earn less. Now, this is weird here. Single people would have to earn less than about $34,000 annually to qualify, and the income cutoff for couples would be about $48,000 per year. So if you're making under $34,000 as a single man or woman, then you will get the $17,000, okay? So now you're making, what are you making here? You're 17, that's, what have we got here? That'd be $51,000 a year. But if you're making $35,000 a year, you're making $35,000 a year because you don't qualify. That's in the pilot project. But they want to make this so that everybody gets it, as far as I understand. First announced in the 2016 budget, the pilot is expected to cost $50 million a year. Those aren't the numbers I come up with, because if you take 4,000 people and you give them $17,000 a year, that's 60-some million dollars a year. Over 3 years, it comes to 200 and some million dollars for 4,000 people. So you multiply that by 13 or 14 million people, then the question has to be, where the hell is this money coming from? Where's it coming from? Well, that's all part of the plan. It goes back to, well, the Rockefellers and all these tax exempt guys who say, you know, Ford said basically the same thing, is own nothing but control everything. And that's what these guys are. They're freaking psychopathic control freaks. And they want to control, and they do control every aspect of your life at this point. And then if they don't, well, they'll just make a new rule or regulation, and then they will do that until whoever isn't totally controlled will be totally controlled. So the numbers are wrong by quite a bit. First announced in 2016, the project is expected to cost $50 million a year and help the government determine whether a streamlined approach to delivering income support improves health, education, and housing outcomes for vulnerable workers and those on social assistance. The pilot also wants to see if providing an income floor below which nobody can fall improves job prospects for those living on low incomes. A similar experiment in Manitoba in the 1970s showed a drop in hospital use, particularly for mental health problems, as well as an increased high school completion in the test community of Dauphin. Now, if you look at that, this is the beginning. And these guys are really long-term planners. And so they put these things out and they play around with it. They put it on the shelf and they see, okay, that's on the shelf. Let's see where we can fit that in down the road. And this is what they're doing. We wanted to find out whether, see, they're all data collectors, right? They do these things, they collect data. Then they spin the data, just like global warming. Collect data, spin data, right? Get the result we want. We've created the problem of global of climate change and global warming because there isn't one. So we created that problem. And once there's a problem, well, obviously you have to fix the problem. So then we come up with solutions. And that's their basic motor operandi. And they've been doing that for hundreds of years. Anyways, it goes on. We want to find out whether a basic income makes a positive difference in people's lives and whether it's an approach that deserves to be adopted across our province as a whole. Now, this is way over $200 million for 3 years for 4,000 people. Now, again, multiply that by 13 million and you're going, where in the hell's all this money coming from? Well, the plan is, okay, because we're too far in debt, we can't get out of debt. Okay, doesn't matter how hard or how long you work or how long your kids work or their kids, you can't get out from under the debt. And it's about control. And how do we pay for this? Well, simple. The United Nations takes control of all of the resources. And they put them into the sustainability bin. And from all of the resources, they run their data again, and they decide how much and what is adequate for housing, for food, for clothing, for education, for healthcare. But you see, once they have control of that, then being the data manipulators they are, and they will probably use global warming somewhere in that, is that because of the ever-increasing threat of climate change, we have to live in smaller homes. Now they're already selling 265 or 285 square foot condos in the Vancouver area. We have to be sustainable. And they decide what your adequate housing is. You know, you've probably seen this tiny homes horseshit. That's straight out of the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundations. Create the problem, come up with a solution, and promote the hell out of the media we control. Promote it through the schools, promote it through the NGOs. That's the reaction. So now you have people out, you know, protesting and this and that, and the government who's all involved in this from square one says, well, this is what the people demand, so this is what we're going to do. Problem, reaction, solution. Problem solved. They don't want you eating meat because, well, to grow a beef cow takes every drop of water on the planet. And with this ever-growing threat of climate change, we can no longer eat meat. Then this is the whole game. And that's the basis of guaranteed income, is to put a stranglehold around you, put a noose around your neck, and whenever they want to choke you down a little more, they just say, oh, well, there's been a problem. The oceans are more acidic than we thought. Therefore, your adequate amount of food is going to be, smaller. You're going to have to learn to deal with it because we have to keep the planet. That's all part of the assisted suicide. Okay, we have to suicide these old people. Well, because there's only so many resources on the planet. And we're trying to give you adequate, but we can't give you adequate because there's too many damn people. There's more people than there are resources. They've been using that line forever. We got to kick these clowns in the teeth, man. We got to smarten up. Anyways, during questioning by community members of Hamilton's historic Liuna, L-I-L, capital L, small I, capital U-N-A, station, I'll look that up, Wynn said there would be regular updates on the pilot and that Ontarians would know how the government plans to proceed by the end of the experiment. Since about 70% of low-income Ontarians are working, the government expects a similar proportion of particular participants will be employed or self-employed, said Social Services Minister Helena Jaksak, who is leading the project with the Housing Minister Chris Ballard. Basic income represents 75% of the province's low-income measure or poverty line of about $22,653. For a single person in 2016, the low-income measure is equal to half the median income of the province, adjusted for family size. Participants will be able to increase their total income through work. Well, their basic income payment decreases by 50 cents for every dollar they earn. For example, a single person earning $10,000 a year from part-time job receive an additional $11,989 in basic income, $17,000 minus 5, for a total income of $21,000. Now, the other part of this, as Rockefeller said, something has to take the place of the government, and business seems to be the obvious entity to do it. So what this does is you can go work, okay, but you're still getting an income. And that gives the corporations an opportunity to pay less. And that's exactly what they're going to do. In order to stay, to keep their advantage, right? Gotta be competitive. A basic income pilot for First Nations is being developed in collaboration with community partners and will likely be announced later in the year. This is a good one here. Ontario Progressive Conservative leader Patrick Brown, who's brain dead, by the way, said former Conservative Senator Hugh Siegel's involvement as a government advisor on the plan gives him confidence, gives Patrick Brown, leader of the Conservative Party, gives him confidence because Siegel is a sharp individual. Hugh Siegel is a member of the UNPA, which is the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly group pushing for a global parliament which supersedes your nation. He's a sharp individual, all right? He's a freaking snake. And Patrick Brown knows he's a snake, but they don't ever tell you that because they're all working together. The NDP has long backed the concept, leader Andrea Imhoff-Worth noted, but she wondered why the government set the basic income amount below the poverty line. I'm very, very worried that the government puts a pilot project in place that doesn't even meet the basic needs of the people, she told reporters at Queen's Park. How do you bring people out of poverty when you're not even giving them a basic income that meets the poverty line, she added. Those on social assistance will be able to keep their drug cards and other benefits, but employment insurance and Canada pension payments will be deducted from the basic income dollar for dollar. Participants in the pilot will be randomly chosen in the mail in test communities. Homeless people will be eligible if a shelter is chosen during the randomized section, yada, 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 yada. Now, the other question, this goes on for a bit, I'll put it in as we're running out of time, but you can read it, do some research on it, understand it's criminal because it's attached to the United Nations, which just by just that alone makes it criminal. So this is another problem we have. But one of the things I was thinking about, one of these pilot project cities is Hamilton. Now, Hamilton is a sanctuary city. So these migrants that are coming into the country, they get picked up, or not picked up, they get helped across, their luggage carried by the police, and taken to an assessment or registration outfit. But nothing happens to them there. They're brought in, they're asked who they are, what they're doing, and then they're released. And they're supposed to come back to immigration in 2 weeks. But what they're doing is they're just heading off to the sanctuary cities. Because you can't get them in the sanctuary. If they're in the sanctuary cities, the federal government can't get them. But the federal government's all hooked up with these sanctuary cities as well, because it all comes through the United Nations. So I'm just wondering, this pilot project, how many actual people here are going to be involved in this, or is this going straight to the migrants, is a question that has to be looked into. But I think the migrants are already getting quite a bit more money than these pilot projects. And so your countries and your cities and that are just going to turn into shitholes, which is exactly what Maurice Strong said. Isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized nations collapse? Isn't it our duty to help bring that about? Okay, and Maurice Strong is Mr. Sustainability, or was before he died, thank God. And so, no, this is a total setup, and we have to be aware of this, and we can't continue to be suckered by this nonsense. We have to understand what's going on and how the media helps move this. They're one of the reactionary things, and the NGOs and the poor people are going, oh, thankfully, a guaranteed income. No, they don't do any math or anything. They just, oh boy, I get something for nothing. No, you don't get something for nothing. Okay? What you're doing here is you're losing your nation. It's called genocide. It's the definition of genocide. Genocide is not about killing people. It's about the destruction of your society, which is well underway now. So we've got to sharpen up. We're out of time. Take care, everybody. Back here Thursday night, 7 till 8. Selling lots of buying time, killing people, that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre.